Man, would you just pray with me right now? God, as we sing these words, that the great I am, holy, holy is the Lord, the one who is to come, lives within us, is just an overwhelming thought, overwhelming truth that you, God Almighty, choose to reside with us. And Lord, we just humbly come to you today. We ask for mercy, we ask for grace, we ask for your peace and strength and guidance today. Oh God, move in this place, move in the hearts of every single person in this room. Lord, there are some deep hurts and deep needs that need you to touch, move, and heal. Lord, we need to feel your presence, we need to feel your love, we need to feel your compassion. Lord, just pour out your spirit in this place for the glory of your name. Give us an understanding of who you are, and may we walk in obedience to what you're calling us to do. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to dismiss our 5th and 6th grader Club 56. We've changed your room. So instead of those doors, go out those doors. You'll be in the lobby. So Club 56 can go to their class right now. Happy Mom's Day. Yeah. That's like come on, let's give it up for our moms. As a young 10-year-old said to me this morning, a little 10-year-old, he says, well, if it wasn't for me being born, we wouldn't have a mom. So I says, there's a lot of wisdom in you, young 10-year-old. You'll go far, just not today. So, all right. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. We are in a series called Entrusted, and we are looking at that God has given us gifts. God has blessed us with everything. Everything that we have, He has given us. And so, because He has blessed us, He entrusts us to be good stewards of what God has given us. And so, we're looking at different things that God has given us and how to be a good steward of that. So we talked about time, we talked about our money, and I'm thankful that you came back after we talked about money. And today we're going to talk about talents, that God has given all of us talents and giftings, that every single one of us in this room, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, that God has given you, He has blessed you with a gifting, a talent, whatever it is that God has given you, and we are to use those talents as worship back to God, to bring it back to God as glory to Him. So, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is giving three parables back to back to back, and He's giving these parables in answer to a question that was asked in Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, the disciples asked Jesus a question about when will be the signs of the end times? What will it be like? And in Matthew 24, Jesus gives out a whole description of what the end times is going to be like wars and rumors of wars, the abomination of desolation, all these different things of like terrifying stuff in a sense of what it will be like in the end times. And the disciples are getting it but not getting it. And I think that's the key to being a disciple, which I fit into. I get it, but I don't get it. And so I'm like, a little clarity, please, Jesus. And so I don't know if you've ever asked Jesus that, a little clarity, please. And so Jesus is giving a little clarity to the disciples, and He does it in the form of three stories, three parables that are back to back to back. And the first parable is the parable of the virgins, the 10 virgins. And that parable has to do with be ready for the end times. Then he gives the parable of talents, which we're going to look at today. And that has to do with don't waste your life. And then he gives a parable of sheep and goats. And he's talking to the church about taking care of those who are hurting and lost, and to be ready for the end time. So you could describe it this way. The parable of the 10 virgins is depend on the gospel. The parable of the talents is declare the gospel. And the parable of the sheep and the goats is demonstrate the gospel. And so it all goes back to answering the question, what will it be like? What will it be like? And what we're going to look at today is the parable of the talents, of what are we to do in the time that we have until Christ returns. All right? So that's kind of setting the stage here. So in Matthew 25, verse 14 through 30, and Jesus is talking. He says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property." So let me stop right there. That what he's talking to is what the end times is going to be like. It will be like a man going on the journey. The man that's going on the journey here is the Master, Jesus. He's talking about himself here. He's going to go away and he's going on a journey and he's going to entrust things. That's where we get the series title, Entrusted. He's going to entrust his property with the servants. So it's his, right? His property he's entrusting with the servants until he returns. And so we need to understand that the signs of the end times, where what we are living in today is that we are entrusted with talents. We're going to talk about talents today until Christ returns. Are you with me? All right, good. If you're not, I don't know what to tell you. Then verse 15. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. So we got 3 people, one with 5 talents, one with 2 talents, and one with 1 talent. And he entrusted them with this. And you say, well, how come one's 5 and one's 2 and one's 1? That's not fair. Fairness is not a biblical value. It's up to the sovereign God to do whatever he wants. And so with us, we have, all of us have talents. Some of us have more talents than others. It's just the way it is. And those talents are different, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that. So let's read on what they did with their talents. Verse 16, he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 talents more. His master said to them, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reaped where I have not sown, and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested the money with the bankers at my coming. I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. and cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, remind you again, this is an illustration, a parable, speaking to what will it be like in the end times. And so he's talking about talents, these giftings that the master has given certain people, some more, some less, and what are they going to do with it? Then when the master returns, there's going to be an account with what you did with what God has given you. And we need to, we'll one day be standing before God to give an account with what we did with what God has given us. And so I titled this message today, Don't Waste Your Life. Don't waste your life. Don't waste opportunities that God has given us. And so I want to look at three points today of how we are to be good stewards of what God has given us, especially when it comes to our talents and our gifts that God has given each one of us. All right? You good? You excited because it's Mother's Day? All right. So, number one is this. Don't cripple yourself by comparing. So, you have these three guys, and it would be easy for them to compare their giftings with one another. Especially the five talent guys saying, you know, I got five, you got two, you know. Or you could look at the one and two talent guy and say, man, that's not fair that I only got one. Why is that guy got two? Why is that guy got five? Why am I only left with one? And it's so easy in our lives to compare ourselves with other people. And here's what comparison does. When we compare, we are either puffed up with pride or we're brought down low with condemnation. And both of those things, pride and condemnation, are not from God. They're not from God. And what happens is we, when we compare, we tend to compare what we know about ourselves to what we don't know about somebody else, which is so true, because we know our inabilities, we know our insecurities, we know our shortcomings, and oftentimes what we see from somebody else is what they want us to see, what they portray. It's their highlight reel, and we know what's in the back room, right? And so we tend to compare, and sometimes we can look like, yeah, that's their highlight reel. You know, we kind of like, I could do so much better, or we're like, oh my gosh, that's their highlight reel. You know, and we compare ourselves, and either we could get prideful or we can feel condemned. And neither one of those things are what God wants for us. And it doesn't help that we carry around a little device that is constantly showing other people's highlight reels. You look through the Instagram, you look through, oh man, I can't believe that. Oh. And right here, I have a picture on my phone of my grandson. And it's like, come on, you know, it's my grandson, you know. And so it's easy to do that, comparing ourselves, and we can get puffed up with pride or condemnation. Now, a few years ago, my family and I had this wonderful opportunity to go to Hawaii. It was something we saved up for and wanted to do for a long time. So we went. And so while we were in Hawaii, we scheduled a day where we were going to go ziplining. How many of you have ever been ziplining? Yeah, it's fun. And so here's a picture of us right there. Look at that. Look at those beautiful people. Oh, yeah, and there's the ocean. So it's this... it's this beautiful setting, and we're getting ready to go ziplining. You may think, oh, man, hashtag best life ever, you know, whatever. But let me tell you behind the story of this wonderful experience in Hawaii, all right? The night before, we went out to eat, and Bev got food poisoning. So all night, she was throwing up, all night long throwing up. And so those poor plants below us as we were ziplining were in for more than bird droppings. I mean, it was just, and so she was sick and not feeling the best. And then the day before, we were swimming and snorkeling, and my hand hit a sea urchin, and I had these little stings in my hand, and I had read somewhere, oh, put it in urine. And so my hand was, all day before, was hurting in some urine. And so I'm happy to greet any of you after church today. Shake your hand. So then I found out that doesn't necessarily work. You're just supposed to put it in vinegar. But anyway, so hashtag great life doesn't show throw up and doesn't show hand in urine. It doesn't show any of that. But we tend to compare our highlight reels and compare with things to other people, but we don't really know what's going on. And here's the thing. When we walk in the comparison game, it leads us to a sinful reaction. And this is very true in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you have King Saul, and then you had David, who was not yet king. He was still a young man. And God was blessing Israel. And God's hand was with Israel. And they would go out to battle, and the Israelites would win because God's favor was on them. And people would return, and they would sing a song of blessing. Saul has killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands. And Saul heard that, and his heart was filled with jealousy towards David. Instead of rejoicing in what God had done and rejoicing that God would choose to use him, he was filled with jealousy, hatred, and anger towards David, and his heart went to kill David. You see, in the book of Romans, it says that we are to rejoice with those who rejoice, and we are to mourn with those who mourn. God has given us all blessings and giftings. Don't compare your giftings with somebody else. It's so easy to feel like you don't measure up because you can't sing like Julio. Guess what? Not many people can sing like Julio. Last week, we went and had a birthday party for my sister, and we did karaoke, and it was very aware that I don't sing like Julio. Even when I was singing, Staying Alive, it's just like, don't compare what you have with somebody else. And don't compare. Some of us have outward giftings, and it can be easy for us to be prideful because we have these outward giftings. And we can kind of shame somebody who doesn't have those things. Don't do that. Don't do that. Rejoice in what God has given you and use it for the glory of God. Amen? Yeah. Which leads to the second lesson we can learn from the story is be faithful, not fearful. So we have two servants, one who had five and one who had two, and they doubled what they did with it. And look at what the master says to both of them. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He says the same exact words to the one who had five, to the one who had two. Well done, good and faithful servant. What he doesn't say is well done, good and fruitful servant. He doesn't mention how much they did. He just saw that they were faithful in what they were given. You see, a lot of times we look at, the fruit. We look at the fruit and we think, that's success. That is God's blessing because there was large crowds or so many of this or so many of that. And we tend to look at fruit rather than faithfulness. And God doesn't say anything about what they did with it. He speaks to that they were faithful to do something with it. There are missionaries that have served in some really hard areas around the world where they can serve for years and years and years and not maybe only have one or two disciples to show for that. Then you could get a guy who's very charismatic, has all the smoky on the stage, the skinny jeans or whatever, and deliver a great inspirational message, and thousands of people will come and listen. God doesn't care about that. He cares about what's, are you faithful? Are you faithful? Faithful. Be faithful. This is not condemning large churches or those things. As long as they're faithful to whatever God has given them, whether it be one or a thousand, whatever God has given you, be faithful in that. Don't look at the, oh, I wasn't really fruitful. If you look at that, if that's your criteria of success, then Jesus wasn't very successful because he started with 12 and ended with 11, right? If you look at the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about all these great heroes of the faith who were faithful but never saw the results of their faithfulness. They were just faithful. They were just faithful. They were just faithful. God looks at faithfulness more than he looks at your fruitfulness. Then you have this, the opposite guy, this one talent guy, and he says this, he also had received, the one talent came forward, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. He was afraid. Fear of not measuring up. Fear of losing what the master gave him. Fear that his talent, not using the talent for whatever the master wanted. He was living in fear. He was not living in faith. See, a lot of times we look at the opposite of faith is being doubtful. That's not true. Look at the disciple. I mean, we just had Easter a couple weeks ago. All the disciples were doubting the resurrection. They were kind of like, And then Thomas has nicknamed Doubting Thomas. Guess where Thomas is today? In heaven. So God can embrace your doubts and work through your doubts. It's the fear that keeps us from walking in faith. We fear all kinds of things. We fear what people may say. What will they think if I did this? What will my neighbor think if I went across the street and started to talk to him about God? We fear about what others may say in our workplace. We fear what others may think or do. We feel like we don't have what it takes to do it. I can't do that. I don't have what it takes. And that goes back to that comparison game. I'm not like them. I can't do it like them. And so we live in fear. We fear like we don't have the time or the money or whatever. And whatever it is that's keeping you from walking in faith of what God has called you to do, and you are living in fear, you're not living in faithfulness. God has called you to be faithful to what he has given you, not to live in fear. When I was in college, we had this program, and in this program, you had to apply, and they would select certain students, and these students were selected to go on a 3-month missions trip during the summer between schools. So school would end in May. It'll start again in August, and so there was like this 3-month program where you can apply and get trained to go on a 3-month missions trip. And I applied, and I got selected to do this missions trip. And so you take this class, they go, during the class they tell you all these different things you had to do, all this training you had to do, and then they tell you where you're going to go. And they say, for me, I was going to go to Israel. And so But with that, initially, go to Israel for 3 months. You're like, sign me up, let's go to Israel. But then I started looking at, man, it's going to cost all this money. I got to raise all this money. I started looking at, well, what about the fall semester? I got to come up with money for the fall semester. And if I'm not working those 3 months, how am I going to come up with money for the fall semester? Who am I going to work with? Where am I going to live? Israel, doesn't matter what year you go, there's always turmoil in Israel. And so I allowed all these fears, and so the fears overtook my faith, And I went in and I says, I'm not going to go. And I've regretted that decision to this day. And I've never been to Israel. I'm going to go someday, hopefully before it's the new Israel, Jerusalem. But I want to go someday. But I allowed the fear to keep me experiencing what God wanted to do in my life. And I think a lot of us are living that way, where we allow fear to overtake us. I'm too young. I'm too old. I don't have what it takes. I'm not smart enough. I don't have the education. All these different things, whatever it is, to keep us from using the giftings that God has given you. Don't live in fear. Be faithful to what God has given you. Which leads to the third point. Don't intend, do. This third servant came to the master. I was afraid, so I dug a hole and buried it and given what you have given me. And then look how the master replies. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reaped where I have not sown and gathered where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers at my coming. I should have received what was my own with interest. He says, you wicked and slothful servant. You wicked and slothful servant. And I begin to think about that with this guy, of what he would have to do. That word slothful kind of stood out to me. Slothful servant. And if you think about it, one talent, he was given one talent. One talent is equivalent to around $400,000 today. One talent. That's a lot of dough, right? And he had to go bury it. And so think of what he had to do. He had to go to Home Depot. He had to get a shovel, get a wheelbarrow. Then he had to go back to Home Depot, because you never go just once to Home Depot. You have to go back. You always forget something. So you go back again, comes back. He had to find a place to hide it. He had to dig a hole. He had to bury it. He had to cover up. Hopefully no one sees it. Then he's watching Facebook to see when the master's coming back again. Finds out the master's coming back. He had to go back to Home Depot, then back to Home Depot again because he forgot some. And then he had to go dig it up, clean it off, and bring it to the master. Doesn't sound very slothful to me. In fact, in comparison, he's probably worked harder than the other two guys physically. But here's the thing. You can be busy, but not productive. You can be busy doing church things, doing good things, looking good, putting on this portrayal that everything's great, but you know in your heart of hearts that gifting that God has given you is buried in the backyard. You know in your heart of hearts that you're not doing what God really wants you to do. And we buried it away. We're keeping it hidden. We don't want anyone to discover it, because I don't know, if somebody discovers I may sing, pastor may ask me to sing or whatever. And we're burying what God has given us in the backyard. And we're putting on a front that everything is okay. And deep inside, we know we're not walking in what God's called us to do. We need to go and unbury the promise, unbury the gift, unbury the dream. Some of you have buried that dream that God placed in your heart years and years ago, and you think it's long gone, it's forgotten, it'll never happen again. No, God's not done. If you're breathing, God's not done. And so unbury whatever passion that God's placed in your heart. And you say, well, Dane, how do I know what it is? What is it that my gift, what is my ability? Well, I would say two criterias to discovering. Does it glorify God and does it bless others? If the answer is yes to that, keep it simple, stupid. Just go forward. Pray, guess, go. Don't be worried about if it fails or if it works. Pray, guess, go. If it glorifies God, is it a benefit and blessing to others? Man, chances are that's what God wants me to do. Whether that be teaching kids' church, helping out in the nursery, preschool, whether that be an usher, singing, or outside the church, whether that be helping somebody this summer with their lawn, or sharing the gospel with somebody, or inviting somebody to church, or just being like Jesus. Don't overcomplicate things. God has blessed us with gifts. God has blessed us with opportunity. God has blessed us with time. God has blessed us with money. Use it for the glory of God. And speaking of money, I talked about money last week. And a lot of times we can look at money, we can look at our financial situation and say, well, it's not much. What little will this do to make an impact for the kingdom? Don't look at that. Just be faithful with what God has given you. It doesn't matter if it's a penny or $1 billion. Be faithful with what God has given you. Unbury the fear and say, nope, I'm going to step out and walk in faith, and I'm going to trust God and glorify God through the process. And listen, what is glaringly true about this statement, this parable that Jesus says, is that there's going to be an accounting. And it's not about, did you earn enough to get saved? It's about, what did you do with the gifts and the salvation that I've given you? What did you do with it? So this has nothing to do with salvation, earning salvation. This has to do with your gifting and ability that you're trusting God with, that God's given you, He's entrusted you with, and you're doing it for His glory. And there will be an accounting. What did you do? Don't waste your life. Don't waste opportunities. Don't live in with regrets or like, wish I have, could have done, should have done. Don't do that. Take advantage of those today. And I want to close with this story, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. I was thinking about who in our lives have been those five talent guys. Those guys that were like, wow, that's a five talent person. And what came to my mind is Billy Graham. I think Billy Graham was a five talent guy. Listen, if you go to India and 75,000 people gave their life to Jesus, I would say that's a five talent. That's a five talent guy. And Billy Graham, I'm sure he had faults and because he's human and stuff, but just before he passed away, he was asked this question by a pastor. And the question is, Brother Graham, if you could preach one more sermon, do one more crusade, what passage of Scripture would you preach on? And without hesitation, Brother Graham says, oh, that's easy. It'd be Galatians 6:14. And all of you are like, yeah. Galatians 6, oh, that's rich. You don't know what Galatians 6:14 says. Here's what Galatians 6:14 says. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Here's a guy who's preached to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. He says, far be it from me to boast in anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Do everything for the glory of God. The gifts you have, the talents you have, the abilities you have, use it for the glory of God. When we do that, we'll stay away from pride and we'll stay away from condemnation. I'm just doing this for God's glory. I'm not going to compare anything that I do or don't have or don't have to anybody else. I have this and I'm using it for the glory of God. I'm not going to walk in fear, but I'm going to walk in faith for the glory of God. I'm not going to live in, I intended to do this, but am I actually going to do it for the glory of God? Do whatever you have, take whatever you have, and do it for the glory of God. We're going to sing this song right now. It says, we crown you. And that's what this is about. It's all about Jesus. We crown Jesus. My giftings are His. My abilities are His. Everything is His. I give it all to Jesus and Jesus alone. So would you stand with me? We're going to sing with this song.